Hey folks, newly reformed Orthodox Nintendo fan Hyrulean here, and welcome back to Bonus Points. Today I'm here with a bit of a short one because I'm just going to riff for a little bit about the recent Nintendo Direct, and by that I mean I'm going to touch upon the like three things that actually happened that I care about. So without further ado, let's keep the intro short and sweet and get right into it. So in many ways, this Nintendo Direct provided a lot of closure for Nintendo fans. This is a big deal because as Nintendo fans, for the last year, year and a half, however long you want to say, we've kind of been left in the dust, you know? Like, Nintendo's been very tight-lipped on what they've been working on. We knew Zelda was coming. We didn't know when. Now we know where Zelda is going to be at this year. But we kind of have known that for a little bit, and other than Zelda, we really did not know what the fuck Nintendo was doing, because Metroid Prime 4 was delayed with no new release date given, and every single time there was a Direct in 2022, it seemed like every single one was just stuff that didn't satisfy the core Nintendo audience. And what I mean by that is people who like the main series, aka Zelda and Mario. There hasn't been an original 3D Mario game or 2D Mario game in many years, and the closest thing to a new 3D Mario that we've gotten was Bowser's Fury, which was, you know, a small side project in the port of Mario 3D World to the Switch. But other than that, 2018 was when we got Mario Odyssey, and we haven't really had anything else since. So Mario fans have been clamoring for stuff. Zelda fans at least know their game's coming eventually, but, you know, they've kind of been clamoring for things to hold them over, and they haven't really been getting anything. And recently, Nintendo's been kind of focusing more on third-party or smaller series. And the most recent big series to get an announced new game was Pikmin. And Pikmin 4 was announced, and a lot of people were very excited. I myself have never played Pikmin, so I personally was glad for the people who have been waiting for Pikmin 4 because they deserve it, but, you know, it wasn't really a win for me. And as far as Bayonetta goes, I personally could not give a shit less. I'm sorry. So going into this February 2023 Direct, the first one of the year, I think me and a lot of other people had high hopes for Nintendo, and I think those hopes were only partially met. But the reason why I say this Direct provided closure is because it's made it crystal clear that Nintendo is laser focused on completing their current projects and kind of shadow dropping and shadow producing new stuff for us. Point in case, Metroid Prime Remastered. Now, before I get into that, I want to briefly cover Pikmin 4. Like I said before, I have not played any of the Pikmin games. I've always wanted to, but I never had them on the GameCube for some reason. Even though they're a staple of the GameCube, and the GameCube was my childhood, I never actually got them. So I missed out on them. I really want to play them. And I was a little butthurt Nintendo didn't announce a Pikmin 1 and 2 collection for the Switch alongside the Pikmin 4 trailer. I was really hoping they would, because then Nintendo fans would be able to play all the Pikmin games on the Switch, which would be really, really cool. Unfortunately, that hasn't happened. Maybe it'll happen later on down the road. We'll have to see. Until then, I'm stuck either trying to hunt down an overpriced disc for either the GameCube or the Wii version, or I've gotta take a trip to the Seven Seas, if you know what I'm trying to say, and I don't really like to do that unless I absolutely have to, so. Likewise, you know, I've been thinking a lot recently about how badly I want to play Chibi-Robo again. I played the fuck out of it at one of my mother's friends' houses when I was a child, but I never actually got around to owning it on my own GameCube, and that was the only time in my life I've ever actually played it, was then when I was a child. And I desperately want to play it again and finish it, but Nintendo neglects Chibi-Robo as well, and so no Chibi Robo. And we were hoping for some news on a Chibi Robo remaster maybe for the Switch. I don't know why we were hoping for that. Nintendo neglects Chibi Robo more than I neglect my student loan debt. And, you know, I still for some reason thought they were going to announce something at the back of my mind. Just like kind of how a lot of Nintendo fans thought they were going to announce a Tamagotchi Life port or sequel. I love Tamagotchi Life, and I was really hoping for that too, but that, again, did not happen. But, that being said, Pikmin 4 looks absolutely stellar. I love the graphics, and it really looks great. And it looks like some of the new puzzle mechanics they're adding to the game are going to be really cool. So I think Pikmin fans have a lot to look forward to, and it's not too far out, so that's great news for them. Likewise, the Metroid series has been another series that has kind of always eluded me. As a kid, I owned Metroid Prime 1 and 2, and I played a little bit of Prime, but to be honest, I was such a snot-nosed little bratty kid that I didn't really appreciate it, and also, I was kind of scared of it. But now I was actually just coming off my high horse from playing Metroid Dread in January of 2021, and I was thinking about picking up Metroid Prime and playing it on my GameCube again, because it's been sitting on my shelf for like 8 years now. And to be honest with you, something kind of stopped me. I was like, no, you know what? I feel like eventually this game is going to come out on the Switch. And on the February Direct, I was politely surprised, and it did. Now, a lot of people were expecting Nintendo, for some reason, to bring over the Metroid Prime trilogy from the Wii, but I even tweeted out a couple hours before the Direct happened on the day of that it's Nintendo we're talking about. The company that excluded Mario Galaxy 2 from the Super Mario 3D All-Stars collection. If we get any Metroid games on the Switch, it's going to be the first Metroid Prime, and that's going to be it. We're not going to get anything else. And unfortunately for me and all Nintendo fans, my intuition was a little too strong, because they announced that Metroid Prime Remastered would be releasing for the Switch that day digitally and February 22nd physically, which I'm waiting for, by the way, in case you were curious. And, you know, I wasn't surprised whatsoever, but it does sting a little bit. But that being said, Metroid Prime Remastered looks amazing. I watched this trailer and I could not believe how good this game looks. I expected them to do a slap job, upscale, widescreen, you know, increase frame rate, that kind of thing. No, it's completely remodeled, retextured, the UI is redone, polished all to hell, new control scheme. This is a really, really good port from what I can see. And from what I've heard, performance is excellent. So it's a 60 FPS game, and honestly, graphically, this is one of the best looking games available to date for the Switch. I'm very impressed with the Metroid Prime remake, and I cannot wait till February 22nd when I can pick up a physical copy for myself and finally play through this wonderful game. I know I will not be waiting very long on this one once the physical does come out, because I've been really thinking about playing Metroid Prime, but the only thing holding me back is the potential of a Switch port, and it finally happened, so I need to jump on it right away. But Metroid Prime Remastered looks really great. I hope they do 2 and 3 at some point as well, even though they're not as highly revered. And honestly, if Metroid Prime 4 looks at least as good as this game and runs as well as this game, it's going to be a slam dunk. So I'm really, really happy with Metroid Prime Remastered. Can't wait to pick it up on February 22nd physically and play it. So I'll keep you guys posted with that. Anyway, moving on to the big hot ticket item. The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom gets its second official trailer. This one was about 2 minutes long, and what it really kind of showed us was a couple of new major game mechanics and some little bits and pieces of looks into the story. So far, Tears of the Kingdom looks like it's going to be marking the return of Ganon as an actual physical being instead of just being like a spooky ghost man like he was in Breath of the Wild. And now that he's back as like a physically manifested form, he's fucking shit up. He literally bombed the entire land of Hyrule. Some standout things for me personally from the trailer include the fact that all of the enemies from the first game don't actually seem to be back, but the ones that are seem to be sort of retold, remade, and kind of have a unique spin. Like all of the moblins and macoblins and all that look a little bit different, like they've got some different stuff going on. Likewise, there's like these cool looking bird lizard things, and I'm a huge fan of them. They look really sweet. And these bird lizard things, they pick up the moblins and like drop them, kind of similarly to the birds in Wind Waker, and that looks really dope. And I hope we can actually have them pick us up and fly us around, because that looks pretty dang sweet, and that sounds like a cool idea to me. And Link is even shown dispatching one by shooting like an auto-aim arrow at it, which was really cool, and I'm stoked for new arrow types. That sounds so great. And there was like this massive metal crate golem thing fighting Link in the trailer, and that looked really cool. And in addition to that, it also seems like there's like either a smaller version of a Hinox or a larger version of a Moblin in this game. They kind of remind me of the Skyward Sword Moblins, like the big fat ones. They looked kind of like that, so I'm stoked to see those things come back in some sort of capacity. And they showed the enemies mining in what appeared to be some sort of a cavern. So that's pretty hype. Maybe we have underground terrain to explore as well. Like maybe that was sort of teasing one of the types of dungeons we can find in the game. And speaking of dungeons, I wanted to talk for a moment about the structures in the game. It seems to me that in one of the scenes you can see sort of new towers, because there was like the towers in Breath of the Wild where you had to climb up and scan your Sheikah slate to unlock the map. It kind of looks like in Tears of the Kingdom there's going to be another type of tower, but they looked aesthetically different than the ones from Breath of the Wild, so it'll be interesting to see what those are. And in addition to that, there's these weird green spirally looking structures that we keep seeing in the backgrounds of the trailer. And my take is that these are basically points where you can launch up into the air and get to the sky islands. And I think that that's sort of what they're going to replace the shrines with. Maybe they're going to have some underground dungeons, and then they're going to have some in the sky dungeons as well. Either way, I'm really excited to see what they do, because it's becoming increasingly apparent that shrines are gone. Presumably they sunk into the ground again, or they got destroyed or something, because there's plenty of scenes where there should be shrines in the background, and for one reason or another, there are not. So in addition to all of that, there's also this whole idea of this new mechanic. At one point in the trailer, Link uses some sort of thing that kind of looks like a rune from the Sheikah Slate, but we know he doesn't have the Sheikah Slate, or at least he doesn't in some of the promotional images, if not all of them. But he uses some sort of like a rune looking thing to get a tire out of like a mud pond. And when he pulls it out of the mud pond, it then cuts to him driving a car. And this is something where you gotta go look up the trailer and see it, because it looks absolutely fucking crazy and awesome, and I love the idea of it. But essentially this car, if you pause the trailer at that point, you can see it looks like a bunch of individual pieces. Like, there's multiple of those tires that we saw in the previous clip. There's like a steering wheel column. There's two headlights. And then there's a bunch of like metal or wood like material parts that are like square that seem to be all held together by this like green goop looking stuff that's like wrapped around them. And what it seems like to me and many other people is Nintendo is basically going to allow you to build your own custom vehicles in Tears of the Kingdom. And part of that is basically the idea that you have to go scavenge parts and attach them. And it kind of looks like there's not only going to be like body pieces that can be formed to make the base of the machine bigger, there's also going to be different types of wheels and possibly like certain tiers, like better ones or worse ones. The headlights seem to be attachable or detachable. The steering wheel column looked like it's a specific thing you have to attach. It all looked really crazy and unique, and I'm super stoked for it. And in addition to the car, they show an establishing shot where Link has that same goop wrapped around some sort of a thing that looks like a hot air balloon. So I'm excited to see what happens with that. I love the idea, I thought of this just now, that Link builds a hot air balloon and he actually has to like drop the flint and the wood on the ground and light a campfire to bring updraft into the balloon. That sounds like such a cool idea, and I hope they do something like that. But even if they don't, I'm still stoked, because there's also another scene where they show what looks like a metal fence or a metal door turned over, and Link has attached four fans to the four points of the rectangle and created a hovercraft. And I am so stoked by this idea. This looks so interesting. And a lot of people have pointed out that it seems like the reason they went ahead and added vehicles into this game and kind of seemingly have made them a core point is because in Breath of the Wild, people were doing anything they could to create flying contraptions or cars or all sorts of things like that. Like, speedrunners went nuts. And basically, if you try to speedrun Breath of the Wild, you have to be able to quickly build these like janky glitch contraptions to fly across the map at really high speeds. And it's super impressive. And it looks like they were inspired by that and were going to be going crazy in Tears of the Kingdom and building all sorts of machines. In addition to that, some other things I wanted to mention. They show Link fighting some guy underground, and he's got a new weapon that like shoots these orbs, and it looks really cool, reminiscent of the flame rod in Breath of the Wild. And there's also a scene where he's shield surfing, but instead of surfing on like terrain, he's surfing along on a rail, which looks really, really fucking dope. And the glider is confirmed to be returning as well. And they announced on the website that you can scan amiibos to unlock special custom cloths for your glider. Like, if you scan the Zelda Skyward Sword amiibo, you get the sailcloth pattern for your glider instead. I think this is really sweet, and I'm super interested in this, and I gotta go hunt some of those Zelda amiibos now so I can have all the different sailcloths. In addition to that, we kind of see this whole story unfold that Zelda's kind of out of commission for one reason or another, and essentially she really is insistent that she thinks that Link might not be able to defeat Ganon this time. And we see her fall down a pit at one part of the trailer, and she's basically just talking shit about how Link probably won't be able to defeat Ganon multiple times in the trailer, and essentially the other thing I want to note is Zelda says at the end of the trailer, like, please help him, like, lend him your strength or something like that. And I'm really curious what that's about. There's some mysterious force that Zelda is asking to help Link. So I'm interested to see where that goes. I'm seriously so looking forward to this game. Every aspect of it seems perfect. And it seems like they're really going to take the ideas from Breath of the Wild and just run with them and turn them up to 11. It seems like, too, a lot of people were worried about the world being the same because they've confirmed it's the same map. But I think the fact that, like, Ganon literally bombs the entire land is going to make the terrain be fairly different. Not only is there going to be massive chunks taken out of it, there's also going to be, like, islands that just fall out of the sky, it seems like. And much, much more. But folks, I highly recommend you go check out the trailer. I loved it, and it honestly probably saved the direct for me. And the main controversy behind the game now is the fact that it's $70, and I'm unfortunately on team that's okay. If you're not, I respect it. I've talked in length about how games are valued by the players, and everybody's going to see that $70 price tag and think their own thoughts. And a lot of people's complaints include the fact that it's a Switch game, but I don't like to rate games and value games based on the technical aspects usually. You're talking to the guy who pre-ordered Cyberpunk 2077 and proceeded to play 80 hours on release, even though the game was buggy as fuck, because I enjoyed the story. I think if it's a good enough story, if it's got good enough mechanics, if it's groundbreaking enough, it's definitely going to be worth $70. What's going to sting is when this game comes out, though, and it's 30 FPS. I think it's pretty much confirmed at this point that it's going to be 30 FPS, because the Metroid Prime Remastered trailer was in 60 FPS, but the Tears of the Kingdom trailer is in 30, so I think that's kind of the nail in the coffin for the idea that Tears of the Kingdom could be a 60 FPS game. It seems like it's going to be a 30 FPS game still, but that is probably going to be okay, and we're going to deal with it, and it's still going to be great, but I don't know. There's a little ramble for you, you know. I just kind of wanted to talk about the Direct a little bit. The other things, really quickly, that are interesting to me include the Fantasy Life game and also the Professor Layton game. I'm so stoked for Professor Layton to return. Honestly, but the Metroid Prime Remastered and the Tears of the Kingdom trailer are what kind of kept me interested in this Direct and kept me from falling asleep, because otherwise there was lots of JRPGs, and I know the Baten Kaidos or Baten Kaidos people got what they wanted, so I'm glad for them. And I know that there's DLC for Xenoblade, which is good for Xenoblade fans, and Fire Emblem DLC, which is great for Fire Emblem fans. I just think that they're still missing a little bit, you know? Like, we need a Mario game. We desperately need a Mario game. And I'm hopeful for the fact that since they said this was a Direct focused on mostly the first half of the year, that we'll get a Direct in a couple months that will tell us the rest of the year, and they'll blow our fucking socks off. And likewise, I hope Nintendo doesn't trick me into buying an OLED Switch themed after Tears of the Kingdom, because it could probably happen, depending on where my financial stability is at that point. So, either way, folks, like I said before, newly reformed Orthodox Nintendo fan Hyrulean here, and this has been a little look at the Direct for February. Tell me your thoughts in the question box that my podcasting app forces me to post on every single episode. Have a great day. Bye-bye. Hyruli.net, youtube.com/Hyrulean, TikTok @Hyrulean. Enough shilling. I'm going to bounce. Bye.